Hello and welcome to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast, where we discuss what's happening in Minnesota with off-roading and the off-road world. I am your host, Mitch Mose. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm sitting down with Angela Hinckley, and she's from the PR director, is that right?
Right.
PR director for Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. And I want to bring her in because she has a lot of the same thoughts and ideas I have with the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. It's basically the same ideas that I have. They've been around a lot longer. I'm just doing the podcast thing right now. But also, Angela showed up today, and if you're keeping track at home, she showed up in her daily driver, not her Jeep Wrangler, but it's still a Jeep, so she gets credit for that. And it's running. Everybody else's Jeeps are at home. Is your Jeep running at home?
Well, so I have a couple of them.
Okay.
And they are all running right now, so it's good.
Okay, good. We got it running. So, but tell us what you do at Four-Wheel Drive Association, kind of brief what your role is and what you do there.
Sure. So right now I hold three positions. I have the public relations director, which is equivalent to a social media manager or a social media director, legislative director, and then I'm also a board of directors. So both the public relations and the legislative director roles are appointed. And then the board of directors is actually something I was nominated and voted into. Mm-hmm. And that's a role that I hold where I'm given voting rights and I represent the community and I vote on their behalf.
Okay. Cool, cool. So you also run their socials. So if people are at home wondering what your socials are,
yeah,
for Minnesota Four Wheel Drive, tell us about that. Where are you at?
So right now we have an Instagram account and we have a Facebook account. We are working on some different platforms for 2020, but those are the most frequently used. Our Facebook page is the one that's the most active and we'll get the most information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find that, you know, locally, Facebook is huge. Nationally, Instagram is huge. It's just the way I see it. And That's great. So, like I was teasing you a bit before, we're going to talk a bit about your rig that's not here.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, at least the vehicle I drove here was four-wheel drive.
Yeah, we got that.
But it's not my off-road rig. What I drove today is my Grand Cherokee, and that's just my daily driver. And I actually don't have an off-road rig right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I have two Jeeps at home. I have a 1999 TJ. That's 100% stock. My dad actually owned that for 20 years before he sold it to me.
Okay.
It's also rust-free, which is a rarity. Mm-hmm. He actually purchased it here in Minnesota from Park Jeep, and then he moved out to Colorado. So it spent the majority of its life out in Colorado. One-time owner, did all the work himself, and now it sits in my garage. It does run, but I don't drive it very often, and it's never been off-road.
Okay. Is it going to go off-road?
Maybe. Okay. I haven't decided yet. I really honestly go back and forth. I've thought about keeping it stock and just leaving it as is. I've also thought about stretching it, putting it on 40s, putting some new axles under it, all kinds of things. So I haven't made a decision. I think one of these days I'll just pull the plug and decide what I'm going to do.
Four-cylinder or four-liter?
It's a four-liter.
Stick or auto?
It's automatic. I don't like manual.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a fan.
You're the first person ever I talked to.
It's probably true. That's okay.
Well, a lot of off-roaders like the automatics because they can kind of get that the tip in with the stick is a little tough when you're trying to go up a hill. I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, you have the 3-speed automatic, I believe, in that one, and it's probably got 307 gears. But
right.
If you're changing out axles, probably, when you go to 40s, it all goes away.
Yeah,
you know.
It really does. I'm kind of doing a full over on that one if I actually decide to off-road it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also own a 1978 Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
Not Grand Cherokee. I'm getting my Jeeps mixed up. This is what happens when you have too many Jeeps.
A Wagoneer?
It's a 1978 Cherokee. Yeah, it's a Wagoneer.
Wagoneer.
And that one is my most recent purchase. I purchased that last year, and I've done nothing to that. That's also 100% stock.
Okay.
So we'll see. And then I'm actually building another off-road rig. Right now it's a pilot tube on my garage floor.
Okay.
I haven't done anything with that yet. But at the end of the day, that will be my off-road rig. I don't anticipate I'll off-road any of the other Jeeps.
Just a buggy type of deal?
Just a two buggy.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, you can really beat those up. So.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal, right?
Okay, so you got some plenty of four-wheel drives to play with.
I do.
And which is great. You're in the right organization for,
mm-hmm.
The right person for this type of organization because it's in your blood. Oh, I love to hear that. So tell us a bit more about the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. When was it founded? Why was it founded? How did it get started?
So it was actually founded in 1987. We hit our 30-year anniversary 2 years ago in It's been an organization that was founded many years ago and has existed long, long before me. I'm very new to the organization. And it was actually founded to unify all the clubs. So we're one organization that represents all of our local clubs here in Minnesota and Western Wisconsin. And we work on their behalf here in the state of Minnesota.
And behalf towards?
It's a great question. A lot of people don't really understand what we do. Okay. So I'm really glad that you're happy that you have us here today, and we can definitely educate the public on what our mission is. We actually work on three things. First and foremost, we create new off-road vehicle opportunities in the state. So that's creating new trails, finding new locations where we can create trails. That's expanding the current trail systems that we have in Minnesota. In addition to that, we spend a lot of our time just fighting. So that's fighting, whether it's a legislative session or with our opposition. Mm-hmm. When I say fighting, it's not negative. It's really advocating. Mm-hmm. It's focusing on what can we do to continue to grow our community and to continue to grow our trail system here in Minnesota. And then the third part of that really goes along with advocating, which is public education and outreach of the sport. So I'm not saying that we educate our community. We actually educate our opposition and anyone who isn't aware of the sport and what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's our job to really show our community in a positive light and show them who we really are and the things that we really do, not what they think or mm-hmm. what their assumption or perception is. We try to change that so that they truly understand what our sport is and who the people are that are in our community.
And this has been a running theme. And when I talk to Scott up in Cook County, or when I talk to Ryan out in Wisconsin with the World Legal Four-Wheel Drive guys too, it's a lot of, there's some people that want different uses for different mm-hmm. trails, and they don't might not want off-roaders in that area because they might see an off-roader as a mud runner and they're just gonna tear everything up. Whereas we're doing things obviously ethically,
right?
You know, so we want to make sure that they know we're not going to be tearing things up, we're not going to be out there when it's super muddy, we're not going to try to scare all the deer away. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's absolutely right, and it's very fair to say that there's a huge misperception of mm-hmm. our community as a whole and what we do and what the sport is. And we spend a lot of our time just trying to educate others on what it is we really do, and that there is a wide variety of the sport, right? There's everything from overlanding to rock bouncing, and mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that it's all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And we talked a bit about the different vehicles you represent, but so we're talking, you're representing all those type of people, am I right?
Absolutely, yes. Off-highway vehicles.
Yeah.
So we represent the overland group, what you would call light wheeling, rock crawling, rock bouncing. So we have everything from your stock Jeep or your stock Land Rover or Subaru, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of your soft roaders, all the way up to your buggies, your rock crawlers, your rock bouncers, your rock racers. Mm-hmm. We have people who have homemade rigs. We have people that have purchased them from dealerships. It's a really wide spectrum. And our community is huge and it's vast. We don't represent just one type of group. We really represent all of them.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about representation, you have legislation. So this is, for some clubs out there, they're just a group of guys getting together and they want to do some trails together. They might say, hey, let's get together. We're going to build a trail rig together. We're going to work on Mitch's Jeep this weekend. And you get together. But yours takes to the next level. We're actually talking to lawmakers.
Yes.
So you said unifying and having that representation. I want to get into that a little bit more a little later. But that's one of the reasons I wanted to sit down and talk to you, because that's where the rubber meets the road when it comes down to laws, obviously, is in the legislature. So thank you guys for doing that. That's awesome.
We're happy to do it. And that's exactly what we do. Our goal is to do that on behalf of all the clubs so that each club isn't individually doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you have more power when you kind of unify things together. You have more power when you have somebody
absolutely
representing you.
Yeah, you're stronger in numbers.
Perfect. And we're back. So I wanted to bring up a little backstory. I was just telling Angela during the break about my buddy Wade and I. We joined the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, but we didn't know what it offered to us. And we didn't know what it was, but I'm going to prove it to my buddy Wade that it was worth it now. Just telling over a break that was worth it for us to do and what it's offering us. So tell us a bit about what the memberships of the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, what it costs, what it all means to a member.
Sure, absolutely. And first of all, you did join the right organization, and it's a good thing that you joined, and I'll definitely tell you why. We do offer three different kinds of membership right now. We first and foremost offer an individual membership. So that means you as an individual can pay $30 a year to be an individual member of the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. Mm-hmm. In addition, you can also pay through a club that you belong to. So if you have a club that collects dues, it's possible that $30 of your dues will go to the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, and therefore you're a club member of the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. So whether you're becoming a member through the club or as an individual, it's still $30 annually. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, we also have a club membership. So that means if you're an organized club here locally, you can join the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association as a club. And that's a one-time fee of $100. And then the third type of membership that we have is a business association membership. That's also a reoccurring annual fee of $150 a year. And then you're a business associate of the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. So those are the different types of classifications. The only time that you do not renew is if you're a club. That's a one-time fee. And we do start accepting renewals as of November 1st, and then they're applied to the next calendar year.
Okay, so you mentioned, I just get my notes out because I had a ton of notes. Give me a hot second.
Sure.
There it is. All right, so for you guys at home or in the car listening, I had made notes in a notebook and I had to find it out where it was. And so you have a whole list. You mentioned the business partnerships that you had too. I'm gonna start there and work backwards to the individual, just so you know. So you have a lot of them here. Now, these guys are, tell me what they do for your club then.
That's a great question. And I love how you articulated that question. What do they do for us, right? Our business associates pay that annual fee to us to support our cause and our mission and what we do. Mm-hmm. They believe in us. They believe in our community. They want more trail systems here locally. They want us to maintain the current trail systems, and they want us to fight. It's just as important to them as it is to the rest of our community that we have trails here in Minnesota and that they're open, because mm-hmm. our members are their customers. So we're truly partners. It's definitely a partnership between the business associates and the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association.
And so it would be a good idea for us, since they're supporting the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, which supports people to help keep the trails open and get new trails, so we should go support them. And I wrote a list, and I wanted to show this to her. That's why I want to dig it out, because I wrote the whole list out, or a good number of them, and I was down to number 20 before I stopped. So go to the webpage and check it out, and you can see where you might be shopping next for your lift or your upgrade to whatever your Jeep is or other vehicle. I guess we're not just a Jeep podcast.
No.
I mean we let those Toyota guys in, and there's other people. But there's plenty of them on here. There's a few of them that I've actually already had on the podcast already. But it's, and some people have coming up. But it's one of those things where you can, you know, go to these places and buy your parts from them, because those guys are supporting Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. If you want to get on the trails, they're helping us out already. So that's great. So then you have some clubs. How many clubs are part of your membership, part of your program right now?
Oh, gosh. So it changes, which is great. I think our two largest increases were in 2018 and 2019. I do believe that the last time that we had a report out on total, it was almost 50, which is pretty impressive.
So there's 50 clubs out there, and so you have a pretty good number of people that are in there. So how many people do you think are part of your program?
So right now, as you know, since the membership is annual, it changes every year. So unfortunately, not everyone renews. But on average, we have about 1,000 paid Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association members each year. The largest percent of those members is our club members. So those are individual people in our community that belong to an off-road club, and the club is part of the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And so you talked a bit about what the dues are, but I want to talk about what the dues go towards next.
Yeah, where does your money go?
Yeah,
right?
Where does the money go?
Where does the money go?
I think that's what a lot of us are asking on bill paying day.
That's a really great question, and you should know that. So since we're a nonprofit organization, our financial business is public. You can attend our monthly meetings, and we do review finances, all of the transactions and current balances of our accounts. The majority of our money actually goes to our lobbyist, Dan Larson. Mm-hmm. So he gets less than roughly $30,000 a year to lobby for us. that's a pretty significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we do pay for a small portion of salaries within the DNR. That does change from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And then operating costs. It costs money to have a nonprofit organization. You have mm-hmm. website fees, you have conference call fees, you have bank fees. Even when you're a nonprofit, there's still certain types of bank fees. If you're ordering supplies for an event, such as an iPad or tables or chairs, there's all kinds of costs that keep us afloat, just for operating costs and for our events. Money also goes there. All of our officers and board members are 100% volunteer, so none of us have a salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of us, you mentioned about, you know, different things for the events.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to some events as an off-roader, they look like they're just thrown together at the last minute, or some events look very professional. There's a reason that some look very professional, you know, because they put some money back into it. They're spending the money for the iPads, for example, for waivers and so on. But those type of professional fees. And some of the biggest ones that events that I watch, if you guys don't know by now, I watch a lot of YouTube. And I watch a lot of Jeep stuff on YouTube. But I watch different events, and you can tell the ones they really put a lot of time and effort in, ones that have been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're very professionally done. And, you know, they might cost a few bucks to go to them, but you're going to get coffee in the morning.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it's totally worth it. And this kind of goes back to, you know, our mission. So, again, a big part of what we do is making sure that we're seen in positive light within the community, right? Specifically
mm-hmm.
with our opposition and legislative. So we want to ensure that at events we look professional and we look like we have it together and that we're representing the community appropriately.
Mm-hmm. And for example, I'm going to put this piece in here.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a Eel Pelt Festival that just got canceled. And the big reason why was cleanup. And I briefly read the article, but I also talked to somebody who was there, and they said it was mayhem. It was not run well, and that festival has been around for 40 some years, and so somehow, some way, it got a bit out of hand. It got too big, and they weren't able to keep up. So that's just how a good run program that's been around for a while can go bad if it's not kept professional. So that's why we need to keep it that way. But you also talked about your lobbyist, and what. Briefly tell me what a lobbyist does in general. I know a bit, but tell me what a lobbyist does in a legislation program.
Sure. Dan does a lot. He has worked very hard for our organization for many years. A lot of what he does is partnering with us and with the DNR when it comes to hosting meetings and representing our community with townships, with counties, with legislative and representatives here locally in Minnesota. He helps us with some of our public relations and our image and our press releases, our communication and our newsletters, our communication and our meetings, keeping everyone informed. He really spearheads coordinating and ensuring that we're meeting with the right people at the right time so that we can continue to move forward. He partners with our other representatives around the state, such as Scott up in Cook County,
mm-hmm.
To help ensure that we've got boots on the ground up there and representation of who we are and what we do. He really works very hard and dedicates a lot of his time. It's hard to articulate. I think for me, I didn't fully understand what Dan did until I started shadowing him.
Mm-hmm.
So once I was appointed the legislative director role, I spent a lot of time with him down at Capitol, both for the Senate and the House meetings, and working on communications. So the information that you get through MailChimp, most of that comes directly from Dan. Working on different letters to different counties and townships. A lot of that takes a tremendous amount of time and a tremendous amount of coordination. You don't just get to write things and send them. Everyone has to look at them. We all need to be aligned. They go through an approval process. It takes hours of work even just to send an email. And
mm-hmm.
he really coordinates and heads all of that up.
If you guys didn't know, MailChimp is an email service that mm-hmm. sends mass emails.
Yes, it does. And yes, that's what you get. It's not spam. It's actually from the Minnesota Forward Drive Association, and it does keep you informed.
Yes. And so a lobbyist is like a hype guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to make sure that you're talking to the right people, in front of the right folks, and also talking to those people, make sure they're well-informed. So that's what sets Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association apart from different other clubs that might be out there. You have that guy.
Right, we have that guy. Yes,
yeah.
And that guy represents all of us.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. If we didn't have that guy, we'd have nobody.
Absolutely.
So no representation. That's a big thing with this country. You got to have representation. That's why we became a country, if you guys know your history books. So tell us a bit about what trails. We're going to get into the trail section now. This is something that I'm always excited about, going to a new trail. I also do mountain biking. I like going to different places and find a new trail, discovering new things. And when you first get on a new trail, the funnest thing is like mountain biking, for example. I went to Carver Lake out in Woodbury. There's a trail out there, and I was doing this trail, and I really liked this trail. And then somebody was looking online and looking at my stuff and says, Mitch, why aren't you doing the back section? Because you can see where I've been through Strava. I'm like, what back section? He goes, oh, he goes, one part, there's another whole part you're missing. I'm like, really? And I went to this back part. I'm like, this is awesome. And I was out there twice a week all summer. It felt like we're doing this trail. So when you hit a new trail and you find a new section of a trail, it feels great as an off-roader. And if it's a mountain bike or if it's a Jeep. And I just, you know, if you listen to the podcast, you know, I just went to Gilbert and I had a blast up there. Next weekend we did Chuck's Fall Run. And we went on sections of the trail we'd never been to. So it made it new and fun for us again. We thought, well, we're not going to go the same old parts again now because we know this whole section here. So what trails have you guys, as Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, been a part of help creating?
So I think the three most common or the most popular, the most frequently visited, however you want to articulate it, that we have here in the state is Gilbert, which is an off-road park up in the Iron Range, which I know you've been to.
Yep.
That's definitely our largest off-road park here in Minnesota, and it's actually very well known here in the Midwest, and we do have people that visit from both the West Coast and the East Coast just to visit that off-road park. Mm-hmm. It does have a variety for all of our members, right? So overlanding all the way up to the rock bouncers. You can take a stock vehicle there, or you can take a very heavily modified vehicle there and have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got core trails and large obstacles, which is great. That's probably the one that we're most well known for and the one that we spent the most time on.
Well, I want to talk about a bit on that one. As I got there, going back to the professionalism piece, mm-hmm. as I got there, there's a DNR person checking you out, making sure that your rig has the front, toe points, the back toe points, spare tire, everything's kind of all locked down, battery locked down. But then when you leave, my favorite part was the car wash, the wash station. Yes. As I was driving in, I'm going like, they have a wash station, and it has a concrete station. Mm-hmm. I grew up showing cattle at 4-H. I grew up a farm kid, and they have nothing's worse than trying to wash your cow in the mud or washing your vehicle in the mud, and that's what it turns into. And when I was in 4-H, they built a station like that for mm-hmm. washing cattle before you show them. They had concrete patio, and it was like one of my last years. I'm like a junior in high school going out there and doing this. I'm like, this is crazy. They finally built this thing after all. And I'm the youngest of seven kids.
Okay.
And so all my brothers and sisters, none of them got that. But I was one of the last years, I was there washing my cow and getting it ready for this deal. So I saw that. I knew exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. And I knew what might have been there before.
Right.
Which is nothing, or maybe just a hose, wash the mud off, and how much that is appreciated by a farm kid like me. But I thought that was a cool thing. So that one is set up pretty well, and it feels like, it's the biggest thing we got in Minnesota.
It really is. It really is.
And it's only getting bigger from right here.
Absolutely. Yes, we're working on the expansion. We're expecting that just to continue to grow. And even if you've been there once, you didn't get through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of goes back to your story about Carver and, the biking, because you can hit Gilbert several times before you get through the entire park. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those places where you don't know that you're even missing a whole section of it until someone tells you.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the best off-roading GPS service. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of got it boiled down to Gaia GPS, I think is what I'm going to go with. So I can find, do the membership so I can find those places.
Those places, yes.
Because you're not always, you might be with a bunch of other guys who are, like when I went out there, I was with my brother and two other mm-hmm. friends, and we were all clueless where to go. We're like, I think we go this way. And and one guy was like, I kind of got to get going. And I'm like, I don't know where we're at. If we're at the far end, we're at the near end, and we lucked out, we were on the corner, we were done. I'm like, oh, hey.
That worked out well.
I planned that.
Yeah. I knew where we were.
the whole time, no problem. But I love Gilbert. I'm definitely going back there. It's a great area.
Good.
And the scenery is great. I got back. I wanted to take my wife and more people out there. I took my little guy with me that day, and I want to take more people because it was just fun and I really enjoyed it. So
it is fun, and then I think the other two that I would mention that are kind of a close second to Gilbert are Appleton. So Appleton isn't nearly the size as Gilbert, and it doesn't offer nearly the options that Gilbert does, but it is still a nice park. It's in the west side of Minnesota. It does have a couple of large obstacles and then basic core trails. Unfortunately, there's quite a bit of water there as well, which I know is a turnoff for some people, to each their own. But it is a great option, especially on that side of the state, and that does get a lot of frequent use.
So the mud guys might like that, is what you're saying?
They could, possibly, yeah. I think that's the only feedback we get. For some, it's just too wet. Whereas you had pointed out the other day at Gilbert, when there is water, it's not like this gigantic flooded out puddle. It's more freestanding water.
Yeah, it's just like water on top of rocks.
Yeah.
And I was worried, like, I'll look at the first puddle, I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna get through this. And
yeah.
You know, and I'm somehow I was in the lead. And so I'm like, I'll give it a shot. And it was fun. It was no problem to get through. No, it was not an obstacle for us, no mud. It just turns everything that you own red.
Correct.
And that's why I like the car wash.
Yes. Back to the car wash again.
And I'm like, next time I'm bringing a soap and a sponge.
There we go. There we go. And I'm sorry to say, Appleton doesn't have a car wash.
Oh, shoot.
So, no, there's not that option there. But it has a lot of other nice features, and it is very well laid out. And I do encourage everyone at least to go once just to check it out.
Okay, good.
And then the third that I think is probably right up there, just for a different type of user, is Spider Lake. So Spider Lake is beautiful. It's wooded. The trails are, you know, what you would call more of an overlanding or a soft roader or a lighter trail. It's something you can do in a stock vehicle, a Subaru, a Jeep, a Land Cruiser, whatever. And it's short. You know, it's something that you can do in a day if you want. You can also camp there. And you do share the trails with other types of user groups, so your ATVs and your UTVs. So it's a little bit different. But for those of you that are new to off-roading, it's a great place to get your feet wet. For those of you that are into that type of off-roading, you know, more of the overlanding or the soft-roading, it's a great option. And it's not that far from the cities. It's just a little bit further north. So that's another great option. And that was a trail system that we were also very heavily involved with.
Yeah, I was on Spider Lake 25 years ago.
Okay.
On my ATV.
There you go.
So I've known about that one for a while. I was like, is it the same Spider Lake? And I got there. I'm like, yeah, it is.
It's the same Spider Lake.
It is. It was kind of funny driving up and seeing it all again. But that was 100 years ago. It was 25 years ago in my mind. But that was Spider Lake. So yeah, I'm glad you guys got all those as part of what you're doing. Give us an overview about the process of creating a trail. So if we have some land or we kind of granted some land, how does the process go through start to finish?
Yeah, so this is a really high level overview of what that process is. There are 1,000 small detailed steps that go into this, but I certainly don't want to bore anybody or put you to sleep behind the wheel. So at a really high level, you know, it starts with an idea, it starts with a suggestion, it starts with a vision, right? So you have your initial discussions, which is typically just a conversation, a series of meetings. And then once you decide to move forward, we actually create a drafted project proposal, which is a very detailed plan, kind of like a business plan, right, of how you're going to accomplish creating that trail and what the vision would look like. And then after that, there are many, many meetings with DNR Parks and Trails to review that proposal. It's not something that happens in one meeting. It can take several. It can take years. It doesn't happen overnight. In addition to that, we certainly work with the public. So we notify the public. We ask for their input. That's done differently with different type of trail systems. We work with townships. We work with counties. We work with the public. We work with our neighbors, whoever we would be, you know, next to on those trails, right? And we give them all the opportunity to speak. And then in addition to that, the DNR does what's called an environmental review worksheet or an environmental impact statement. Again, that's a very long process and doesn't happen overnight. And that's to ensure that the land that we're using for that trail system is not negatively impacted. So one example is they find wetlands and ensure that we're not driving through wetlands and that we're not disrupting the nature and the environment that's already there. And then after that, finally, permit time and construction. So you're actually building the trails. That could be everything from, you know, taking down trees and branches to bringing in really heavy equipment and building obstacles. It just depends on what type of trail system you're building. And then after you have your grand opening, then there's maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to have someone to maintain it, whether it's a club or the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association or a combination of both, DNR possibly. It just depends on what type of trail system it is. And it's ongoing. It's forever, right? Mm-hmm. As long as that trail system is open. There's also inspections and enforcement that you have to work with as well. So what's unfortunate about this process is that it can take a very long time. It can take a decade or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our community has a perception that it takes us too long. And in some cases, it probably does. But we're all volunteers. We're working very hard, right, to make it happen as quickly as we can. And unfortunately, there are some things that do get thrown away that are unexpected. And you're working with several different partners and layers of different groups and people, right? It's a lot of coordinating, and it's a lot of time and effort that we put into making it happen.
It's a process.
So
back to your, this isn't on the list of things I put down.
Sure.
Talk about leadership. Is there a lot of young people in the leadership roles? Because I think if you just have a bunch of old fellows out there, mm-hmm. you know, sooner or later they're not going to want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So is there some young guns coming up that are going to help take over, or should we ask some young guns out there?
We need some young guns.
Okay.
So I, not to embarrass her, but Morgan Wendt is probably our youngest volunteer within the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. She's been involved in the off-road community since she was born. She was literally born into it. And she has held roles within the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association for many years. She just turned 21.
Okay.
So she's definitely the youngest and probably the most active as far as succession planning and wanting to be a long-term volunteer with the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association and really carry that torch. And you are absolutely right. We need succession planning. We need volunteers. We need people within the community stepping up and shadowing the current members, right? So the current officers and board of directors that are doing the job today, so that they learn these things and so that we can continue on. Because without people learning the process and participating in this actively right now, you're absolutely right. We're going to get to a point where people are going to move on and they're not going to be volunteering their time, and we're going to lose all of that education and experience with them.
So, next thing on our list was talk about what our members can do to join the cause and join the mission. I think one of them is just joining Minnesota Four-Wheel
just
Drive.
Just join. Yeah.
Join is step one.
Just join.
Join step one. It helps with the overall cause. Your $30 is definitely going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And helping, keeping the trails open. And it's like the stock market. Sometimes it's a long bet.
Yes.
You're taking the long bet if it takes 10 years to get trails open. But as my group of friends that I'm with, we plan on doing this for a very long time. All of us are like, we're never selling the Jeep we got. It's one of those things, we're never getting rid of it because it's the one we're going to have for a long time. You spend all this time building it up. And so we're playing a long game also. But definitely, the $30 is going somewhere to help out things that are coming up. And then I would definitely invite the people who have it in their time. And also, they want to just expand the next step is, try to join a leadership process or shadow. That's a lot of things. A lot of times I see organizations and it's just like five old people doing it. And I'm like, okay, where's the young people coming up underneath to join that next organization? I see it in my old church, where I was as a kid, it's just a lot of older folks in. But my new church that I'm at now, plenty of participation and people coming up through the ranks. There's a difference there. You got to have those young people kind of pushing, those young passionate people. So some people who are out there just getting off-roading, they're just hearing about this now. They never heard of Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association and what they do. They might be inspired to go ahead and join up. I'd love to see them do that. Obviously, I did because I knew I was going to go somewhere and help out something. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to get in a troll hogging. And somehow, I think they'll be able to get in there no problem soon. I'm a part of so many different Jeep clubs, mm-hmm. I guess, now. But that was one day that I joined, and now I know why, what it's there for, and how it's helping out the four-wheel drive community. But I want to talk about a few events that are coming up here. Tell us a bit about some of the events that you have coming on with Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association.
Sure. We have two events that we host annually. We have the swap meet, which is April 11th this year. It's a Saturday. It's a one-day event, and it's always at the Anoka County Fair. And that's exactly what it is. You bring your old, used, or new parts, and they can be anything, any type of part, any type of vehicle, and you bring them to the swap meet. If you're a Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, you get into the event for free. If you're not, you have to pay $30 to get into the event to sell your stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're coming to shop, it's free for you, no matter if you're a member or not. It's great. We have a huge turnout every year. People find really great buys and really great deals on parts. We also have a Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association booth there where you can come and talk to us and learn more about the organization. Most of the time we have merchandise there for sale. We have some handouts and other things too. It's fun. It's a good time. We usually have food trucks. That's my favorite part. I'm not going to lie. So, we encourage everyone to come out or at least stop by. Even if you're not interested in shopping, just come out and join the community, hang out by the fire, and get some food from the food trucks and say hi.
I went a few years ago, and Wade, this is where I got your fenders for your TJ, by the way. I picked them up there, but they were red, so I had to go in my hand. They weren't black.
I get it.
But there wasn't food trucks when I went.
Oh, no.
So that must be a newer thing.
It's a new thing.
Man, I missed out on that. It was a cold day, I think, too, when I was there.
Yes. Snow or shine. That's what we call it. Snow or shine. Yeah, no matter what.
But I remember going there and seeing lots of stuff. Nothing mm-hmm. I needed. I just came there and looked around for a few hours.
Yeah.
I think I met my brother there, and we went and had some coffee afterwards. But it's a great time to talk about four-wheel drives. I had a good time going there and seeing other people out there.
Yeah, and then our second annual event is Spring Convention. So Spring Convention this year is May 8th, and that's up at our favorite place, Gilbert. it's a one-day event, but people typically come up Friday and stay until Sunday. And there's camping available either at Sherwood or there's several other campgrounds up there in Gilbert that you can camp at. There's hotels. There's other homes that you can rent through BRB, right? And it's a fundraiser. So this is kind of our spring kickoff to the season, right? But it's also a fundraiser. And our main goal is to bring the community together from all the different clubs to wheel together and have a great time as one unified group. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, this is a huge, huge way that we every year bring in funds for the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. So in addition to your dues, this is a way that we raise money. We usually have a dinner and a large raffle. And then there's also fees just to enter and to participate. So this is just another way that you can come and support us. We also really appreciate our clubs and businesses coming together and donating raffle prizes or doing other things to contribute to that weekend to help support the event. We certainly couldn't do it without their partnership.
So it's January something today, 3rd, I believe. Yeah. This is May 8th. So tell me more about the raffle.
Yes, the raffle, right? So
if I'm going up there.
He's like, I want a raffle.
I want to win something.
That's right. We have large national businesses, right? So Warren, oh gosh, now of course I can't think of anybody, right?
Put her on the spot.
You did.
What cool things might I win?
Let me just say that there are large businesses across the nation, right, who donate either gift certificates or actual parts. We also get a lot of local businesses to come in and either donate parts or gift certificates. They don't have to be off-road related. We get some really fun stuff like wine baskets or furniture. Or experiences, mm-hmm. like vacations or, you know, different type of destination type donations. So we will take anything. Anything that we can sell a raffle ticket for, we will happily take. No donation is too small. And really what we need from the community is to come out and buy those raffle tickets.
Awesome. So those are some big events. So today in recap, we talked about basically what the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association is about. Talked a lot about the lobbyists in the middle there, what the trails, how the trail creation, how the trails staying open. Big events coming up. I think we hit a lot of things we want to talk Good. About today. So, but thanks for coming in. This yeah. was very informative for me. One of the reasons I do the podcast is, you know, my part, being selfish, I just want to learn about stuff. And hear more about it. Sometimes people will sit down and read an entire website, but most of the time they don't.
Right.
So hopefully we actually got a lot of things out there so people can understand what the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association is all about.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, gang, if you would like to support the podcast, you can go to the link that I provided in the show notes right at the end. It says Apparel Store. It's a Teespring link. Kept the prices pretty fair. And just know that every dollar you spend kind of helps out the podcast. Thanks a lot. Hey, thanks for listening. Next week, I'll be talking to somebody new about off-roading and the off-roading lifestyle. Hope you guys will join us. Thanks.